It's time for the Drive's Top 4 at 4.
Hour number 2 of the Drive underway. It's Fan Run Radio. Russell Baird, Trey back with you. The Top 4 at 4 this afternoon, brought to you by our friends at Knoxville Smiles. Bear?
Thank you, Russell. Number 1, the Ohio State Buckeyes are set to resume activities today, coming off their pause due to COVID-19 issues within the program. And they look to be set to take on Michigan State Saturday in East Lansing. Although Ryan Day will not coach in person.
And if they miss one more game, like...
They're not eligible for the Big Ten title game. Which would mean Indiana.
Yeah, so that's not good. Not good for them. Okay. Well, we'll see if they could get their ball game in. You'd think they'd be able to run through Michigan State, who has not looked particularly formidable this year with minimal practice time and effort. So, I'd like to see. I know it's fun to make fun of Ohio State, but I feel like with the talent they have in that program, they need to be in a college football playoff. You know, it would, if they lose to a Michigan State or something like that, that's one thing. But if they win all their games and decisively and nobody really challenges them, I know Indiana put a scare into them, but like I would feel gypped if the only reason they're not in the playoff is because they couldn't get enough games in.
Yeah. We'll agree to disagree on that one. Number 2, retired Oklahoma coach Bob Stoops made a brief return to the practice field on Tuesday, Coach Lincoln Riley said. We brought Coach Stoops out of retirement today, Riley said at his weekly news conference. He was out on the field and coached with us today. It's great to have him out here. Apparently, Oklahoma is missing a lot of assistant coaches due to COVID-19 and contact tracing. So they brought Coach Stoops back.
Now, I saw some people speculating, like, if Shane Beamer were to take the South Carolina job in the near future, could Bob Stoops conceivably coach for them in some sort of postseason capacity, just sort of as a one-off deal, like Philip Fulmer would have been our offensive line coach against Arkansas if Will Friend had not tested out of COVID protocol. Could be a little interesting side story to keep an eye on this month.
Yeah, should be fun. Number 3, the Sun Bowl, second oldest bowl in the nation, is canceled for the first time since its inception in 1935.
Mm.
It was scheduled for El Paso, Texas, on New Year's Eve. El Paso's been dealing with it. I mean, it's just really bad down there in El Paso. Thoughts and prayers out to those poor people. So they've got more important things to attend to right now than trying to have a bowl game.
Yeah, it's too bad. I always liked the Sun Bowl. It seems they usually play that one on like a weekday afternoon, and it's usually cold here. And then you tune into the Sun Bowl, and it's like 80 degrees and sunny down there.
So for that year that
Kiffin
and USC were out there
with the black eye
that day. Yeah,
but during that game though, we always got the A crew of CBS. It was always Vern calling the Sun Bowl.
It's always made it fun.
All right, go ahead, Bear. Wrap up. We have some breaking basketball news as soon as you're done.
All right, and number 4, at halftime, my man City Boys are tied 0-0 against FC Porto. That's top 4-4.
Oh, yeah. Champions League action for Man City.
Oh, yeah.
This afternoon. Okay. We'll keep an eye on that one. That is your top 4 at 4. It's brought to you by our friends at Knoxville Smiles. Folks, don't let your dental health go to waste this year. You need to stay on top of that, man. You need to keep your smile looking nice. You need to keep your smile healthy. You could do that with a quick visit to Knoxville Smiles. They'd love to make your acquaintance. Dr. Stephen Malone's been practicing dentistry here in Knoxville for 24 years now. He and his partner, Dr. Michael Costa, take great pride in listening to and communicating with their patients to help them make the best decisions about their dental health. I'm a patient. You could be one as well. They'll take great care of you at Knoxville Smiles. Head to KnoxvilleSmiles.com to set up your appointment today. That's KnoxvilleSmiles.com, or just call them at 865-539-1776 and be sure to let them know you heard us talking about it right here on Fan Run Radio. To the Fan Run Breaking News Desk we go. Trey, looks like Tennessee has finalized plans to play UT Martin on December 9th. Is that, I guess, a week from tomorrow?
That is next Wednesday. They will play UT Martin. The game will tip off at 7 p.m. Eastern time and streamed on SEC Network Plus. Yeah, the Vols have a season opener.
Skyhawks coming to town.
Yeah.
Pat Summitt's alma mater.
I got that in.
And Ty Simpson's dad's employer. A lot of ties there.
That's a good point.
UT Martin. Yeah, I don't know if that necessarily means anything as it pertains to this, but finally.
Yes, it means Ty Simpson is coming to Tennessee because they set up a basketball game. It's all aligning now.
Well, I've heard he's planning on being at the game this weekend.
Right.
And he's been at, like, all of our home games this year.
That's a little bit of a drive.
And it's the entire width of the state.
I bet he flies in.
I don't know. But that is a
– wow.
It's just so strange. Ty Simpson, for those who don't follow recruiting closely, very highly touted. He's only a 4-star according to the recruiting services. But Tennessee joined by Alabama, Clemson, Oklahoma, and pretty much everybody in the country – wants Ty Simpson, a very highly touted quarterback from Martin. His dad is the head coach at UT Martin, and he loves him some Chris Winkie is the story. He loves him some Chris Winkie, loves him some Jim Chaney, loves him some Jeremy Pruitt, and despite the fact that our season has been a complete and utter dumpster fire, he's maintained interest. And, like, I don't know, honestly – if I'm Jeremy Pruitt, I don't know that I want him coming to this game. It's like, dude, it's going to be cold.
We're going to see it anyways.
Yeah, but maybe if he's just watching at home, he'd turn it off and go do something else instead of, like, having your nose rubbed into a bunch of Florida fans talking trash and everything. I mean, it's just – if you're Jeremy Pruitt, you just want this season over. And it brings me to this. If you're Philip Fulmer and you are seriously all in on this dude, should you offer a public vote of confidence? I'm not talking about putting word out through Doug Matthews or issuing a statement. Should you do a video and just put it out on your own or go on state-run radio or whatever and state publicly and emphatically that you believe in Jeremy Pruitt regardless of what these last three games hold? He's our coach, and everybody needs to get on board and pull together. I know that won't happen, but, like, should the getting on board and pulling together thing unanimously, but should he make that statement publicly? Vote of confidence, Bear, what do you say?
The dreaded vote of confidence?
The dreaded vote of confidence.
Yeah, I mean, as long as he gives it and then he hammers him out of here and – 2 or 3 weeks, I'll be fine with that.
He's kind of damned if he does, damned if he doesn't, right?
Yeah.
I don't think
he's
can
not in a good spot, right, that's for sure.
What's that, Trey?
I just don't think he can right now, Bear. You know what I mean? Russ? I mean, yeah, he probably should. But what if they come out and get blown out by Florida and beat up by A&M and beat by Vanderbilt? Like, okay, you going back on your word? Like, I don't think this is like a Ray Tanner, Will Muschamp.
Yeah, I think his silence is deafening, quite frankly. Right. And it leads me to believe all these, there's no way a move is going to be made. There's no way it could happen. You don't know that. oh, behind the scenes, he's doing Zoom meetings and he's telling everybody we're better than our record. Like, so what? Behind the scenes.
That's what you're supposed to say.
Yeah. Like, what's he going to do? Get a, all right, we're having a staff-wide meeting, the whole athletics department. Look, everybody, I know this guy's a moronic gump who couldn't coach his way out of a paper bag, but we're going to get better. Like, he's not going to say that. That's Coach Fulmer. He's going to rally the troops and circle the wagons. And I'm not,
it
look,
might
I,
be,
I'd
be cool if he did, though, wouldn't it?
I'm not saying that I'm not saying one thing's going to happen either way. I just say that the fact that he hasn't said anything yet is interesting. And even if he did say something, I think you wait till after the Vanderbilt game. And I just think if you lose to Vanderbilt, I think you almost have to make a move. And
right
even
before
if,
you accept your Birmingham Bowl bid.
It's just such a mess, man. It is just such a mess.
I don't want to go to Birmingham to cover a damn bowl game. I just don't. So maybe they can accept like the Vegas Bowl or something in Shreveport. I'd rather go to Shreveport than Birmingham.
Well, and who's to say that it's all Philip Fulmer's call? Philip Fulmer's got bosses too, you know.
Right.
And I can't imagine that the money people – I mean, we probably talked too much about some of the things that are happening behind the scenes. Like, I don't want to get into rumor mongering and all that stuff. But, guys, I mean, if we're hearing about the dysfunction that is rampant in this program right now, the money people are hearing it too. And it pisses me off. What I hear, so it's got to piss them off because they're the ones who are, you know, I'm just emotionally invested in this thing. I'm not giving them my actual money. For the people that are writing the checks and will have to write the checks to get rid of this guy, whether it's this year or next year, that's got to be really irritating. What? I just spent 5 years. I just spent the past 3 years paying Butch Jones to coach at Alabama, and now you want me to spend the next 3-4 years paying Jeremy Pruitt to coach at Alabama too? Are you serious right now? Are you serious? That would be my response if I were one of those people. So I can only imagine how teed off they are. Let's get Roger in here. Good afternoon, Roger. You're on the G3 Help Me Hotline. What's going on?
Not much. I'm doing fine. How y'all doing?
Big Roger. Doing well. Thank you.
Well, good. I just want to answer your question first. I ain't get to anything, and time is busy. So I just wanted to answer your question. I'm excited about playing Florida, and I just wanted to say to do you think Tennessee can compete? I just want to ask you a question to you all. I know it might be a crazy question, but that's why I ask you: if Tennessee can compete well, hope they win, but if they give a good effort, and play their best game, and give Florida a good fight. Would y'all be happy if Tennessee hope they win? Of course,
no.
But you know what I'm saying? If they give Florida a good fight, you know, give them a good.
Are you asking if we're accepting a moral victory this week, Roger? Is that what you're asking us?
No, I'm not asking. I hope we win. I'm saying if we win, but if we compete, if we play our best game and
that's a moral victory.
Get on board with us. We want to fire this clown. He's horrible.
Roger.
No.
You don't want to fire Bear yet.
What are you saying fire him for, Bear? For
being an incompetent boob, Rog. Go ahead, Rog.
But you don't fire a guy yet, Bear. Not yet, you don't.
Can I just quote the great Sean Connery?
What the?
The late, great Sean Connery. From, and I'll have to paraphrase here to get us past the FCC censors. But in the timeless Prison Break classic, The Rock, 1996, yeah. I believe, Sean Connery asked Nicolas Cage if he can commit, if he can complete a simple task. And Nicolas Cage says, "I'll do my best." And Sean Connery says, "Losers whine about doing their best. Winners go home and lay down with the prom queen." We're not doing our best. It's SEC football, Roger. Try our best. We're playing Florida. There's no second place ribbon here. This ain't the swim meet. There's no certificate of participation. You lose. Yeah, if you lose, you lose.
Right, I know.
It's an outrage.
Winners win, Rog. Losers lose. And this guy's a loser. I'm ready to get him out of here.
He's not a bear. He's not a loser bear. He's not a loser bear.
What?
What do you mean by that, bear?
I want him fired. F-I-R-E-D, fired.
Yeah, fired.
Why, bear? Why do you want him fired
because
for?
I'm tired of being horrible at the game of football, Rod.
You don't fire him yet,
Bear.
Because
I know you like these guys. And I know you're a better person than me. And you'll probably end up in a better place than I will. But I'm sick of it, man.
You gotta give him more time.
What, to completely destroy our program? No thanks.
No.
Love you, Rod.
Russell, do you think you need more time, Russell?
No. I've seen enough.
No?
I've seen enough, Rod.
Really? You seen enough of him?
Yeah. It's not going to get any better at this point. He's had plenty of opportunity, and I think this thing's falling apart on him behind the scenes, and I think that he's in quicksand right now. How's this for analogy, Bear? Trey, you'll like this too. Jeremy Pruitt is up to his neck in quicksand, and the harder he struggles, the more he meddles with his offense or his recruiting or his whatever, the just deeper he's in right now. And I hate it for him, man, because his dream job's turned into a nightmare. But guess what? He's going to get – he gets the golden parachute bailout, as all fired UT head coaches do, and he's going to be just fine. But, Rog, thank you. We got to run here. Stay with us. The Drive continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up. Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. Russell Bear, Trey Cruz along with you. Ryan Callahan of Go Vols 24/7 going to join us at the bottom of the hour to talk about the Terrence Lewis decommitment, what it means for Tennessee, Jeremy Pruitt going forward. Let's get a phone call from Phil first. Good afternoon, Phil. You're on the G3 Help Me Hotline.
Why is IWI?
How
are you, Bear and Trey, doing?
Doing well, thanks.
Who's the new young man after the phone, sir?
That is our new guy, Adam.
Adam, okay.
He's cool. Working hard. Drew's showing him the ropes. All of a sudden, Drew's acting like he's like the grizzled veteran around here. He's like holding Adam's hand, showing him how to do everything. Just 2 months ago, Drew was the young pup with his head spinning, didn't know what the heck he was doing. Now he's trying to act like he's the mayor or something. It's kind of cute.
Huh. Well, Adam did a good job, but Drew's done a great job. So more power to him, and hope he does well over in Europe now.
He's done well.
Guys, get recruiting experts to tell how bad our recruiting class is going to be. Pretty cool, you know.
Well, you got to get the lay of the land, you know, Phil. Figure out what's going on, really.
Well, looks to me like it's a sinking ship. It's just you just got to get the life raft out and get the freeze zone and get it moving in the right direction.
You're all in on Hugh Freeze?
I've been all in on Hugh Freeze. He beat Alabama twice. That's all I need to know.
Any worry, Phil, that
no.
He could be our Jim Harbaugh, that he could come in here with great hopes and just not be able to get it going?
Well, the only worry I have is what will happen to him will happen to Buck Pearl. He'll get NCAA problems and he'll be forced to leave. But it'll be a fun 5 or 6 years before it happens instead of being scum of the earth like we are now.
I mean, if you're going to have NCAA problems, you might as well have something to show for it. Yeah.
Exactly. Hardware. Games. Go to bowl games. Be a few, you know, Florida, Georgia, Alabama. Be nice, wouldn't it? How about taking care of business and beating Kentucky and Vanderbilt every year?
I mean, the simple things that we used to take for granted, Phil.
Yeah.
Would be nice. I'd like to take it for granted again.
Yeah, so the basketball team plays next Wednesday night, right?
That's the word.
UT Martin.
Yep.
Well, and they're going to play Middle Tennessee State possibly in sometime in December. That's the rumor that's going around.
I think this is very fluid. I mean, there might be things where you can call up some of these in-state teams and just be like, hey, can you be here? Not after tomorrow night. Could you be here Thursday night for a ball game on a Monday or Tuesday? And if they can, hey, hop on a bus and you don't even have to have a hotel, really. Like, you tell me ETSU couldn't bus down here, play a game, and then bus back all in the same day? UTC?
Well, I couldn't see Memphis go ahead and play now.
It's a good question, Phil.
And Belmont's a team that would probably give Tennessee more than they want in a ball game right now.
Yeah, and I don't know. I just don't know that Rick Barnes and Penny Hardaway are returning each other's calls these days.
Well, the fans won't see it, though. I want to play Tiger High every year. I think it's good for the state, and it's good for basketball in the state of Tennessee that the two elite programs play each other every year. I don't see why we don't. And Kentucky and Louisville play every year.
No, I agree. I mean, it's the – to me, I mean, that rivalry, it was more heated the last 2 years than the Kentucky rivalry is for Tennessee.
Hmm. Yeah, it has, hasn't it?
And, yeah, and they haven't been playing every year. I mean, it's just – it's blood sport when Tennessee and Memphis go at it in basketball. You're absolutely right, Phil. That should be a every-year thing, regardless of what the coaches think. Because, I mean, and it's been – it's not like we're ducking them or they're ducking us. I mean, Pastner didn't want to play it. Calipari didn't want to play it. Now Barnes doesn't want to play it.
Yeah.
And there, I don't know if the governor gets involved or whatever, but he needs to say, look, you guys are being babies about this. Play. Yeah. Rotate it. I like the way they did it with the Nashville game. We're going to play 1 year here, 1 year there, 1 year in Nashville, and just keep it going like that.
Yeah, I agree. One more thing before I get off here. Recruiting class, not this year, but next year in Tennessee, is one of the best ever. So it's imperative that Jimmy Pruitt be fired now so we can make hay next year with Hugh Freeze as our coach. And I hope Barry called Chance and Fabulous this morning because they were wanting to call. See
you. Who?
Did you call Chance and Reek?
Oh, no. Why would I call them?
Trey, it is shaping up to be an outstanding year in-state for the class of 2022. Not only Ty Simpson, but the defensive lineman who's playing at Marlon Walls' school now in Memphis. That kid might be the number one player in the country.
Can I be real, real honest with you on something?
Please.
I could care less what a 16-and-a-half-year-old is doing right now and thinking about where he's going to school. Like, I don't – like Ty Simpson, I don't care.
But that's the whole game. If
but
we can't...
I get it, but it's the same damn thing that happened with, like, Kentucky – I mean, I'm sorry, Texas. What, a month ago, they had their 2022 quarterback locked up and he was going to be the future. Then all of a sudden he decommits and – now he's thinking about going to Ohio State and stuff. Like, all this things is so fluid. Ty Simpson could commit, and then Tennessee starts 0-4 next season, then he decommits. Like, I get it. I understand the game. But, man, I could care less what a 16-year-old's doing right now.
Wow.
Got to have players.
No. I understand that. What I'm getting at, they have so much time to make a different decision. Like that's the thing. Like, if we're talking about 21 recruits, you know, and we're 6 months out from signing day, okay, like, I understand it.
But that's what I mean. Those kids, we're 2 weeks out from signing day for those kids.
Right, I know.
And yeah, they're jumping ship. And then to Phil's point, and it's a very good point. This is going to be a great year in state recruiting. And those kids, look at it when all the kids made their decisions this year. Like 75% of them made their decision in the spring and summer. That's the way the calendar works now. And so you're going to have a situation, Jeremy Pruitt, the narrative is going to be he's not going to make it here. He's on the hot seat, and he's not going to be able to recruit at an elite level next year. So you're seeing this year's recruiting class fall apart. It's going to be impossible to recruit this next year if you're Jeremy Pruitt. So not only do you suck now, but you're just the longer you delay the inevitable. If you don't fire this guy this year and you bring him back next year, you're sacrificing a great in-state class again too. Because even the great Hugh Freeze isn't going to be able to come in a year from now in 2 weeks and flip all these kids that are going to be committing elsewhere over the next year. That is an interesting point. We'll talk more about that with Ryan Callahan coming up next. The Drive Fan Run Radio. Stay with us. Back with more right after this.
Noon. This is The Drive.
Welcome back. The Drive continues. Fan Run Radio. Russell Baird, Trey Cruz along with you on a Tuesday afternoon edition of the show. Pleased to be joined now by Ryan Callahan of GoVols 247 on the G3 Help Me Hotline. Good afternoon, Ryan. How are you, sir?
Hey, guys. Doing well. How are you?
Hey, doing all right. Better than Tennessee's recruiting class, or I don't know, are we? You're the expert. Is this the decommitments of the past week a blip on the radar or the beginning of a mass exodus for Tennessee's recruiting class?
Well, I think you have to say we'll wait and see, because I think the reality is Tennessee's season, how it finishes, could very well play a part in deciding that. But right now, I would lean toward it being more of a blip on the radar. If you'd asked me a month and a half ago, I would have told you the two guys who decommitted within the past week were two of Tennessee's shakiest commitments. Demarius McGee got an offer from LSU about a month after he committed to Tennessee back in July. And ever since then, he's kind of been looking at LSU, and I think, you know, been really intrigued by their history of producing defensive backs. He's got some people close to him who like LSU. So there were some reasons to worry about that one even before Tennessee's struggles started. And then Terrence Lewis, we've known, you know, five-star linebacker. Anytime you're recruiting a five-star guy like that, you're going to have to fight off some other teams down the stretch. We heard of Miami sniffing around the last couple months, you know, maybe pondering a late push for him, and some other teams being involved there. So not surprised necessarily that either of those two happened. They were both surprising in terms of the timing, but not surprising that they happened. And I don't think they're necessarily going to start a mass exodus. In fact, we've already seen four or five Tennessee commitments come out on Twitter and have different tweets sort of indicating they're still firmly committed. So for right now, I think they're mostly okay, but obviously those were two guys that Tennessee really didn't want to lose.
So when you say it's going to come down to, or it might come to, these last three games could have a big impact on the way Tennessee's recruits feel about them, feel about Jeremy Pruitt, the direction of the program. Like, what in your mind is, obviously they'd like to win one of these two big games against Florida or A&M, but they're huge underdogs to Florida. I'd imagine it won't be much better when Texas A&M comes to town. Like, what does success look like for the Vols these last three games of the season?
Yeah, that's a good question. And just to be clear, I'm not saying that you know, Tennessee has to win a game or two down the stretch, or they're going to lose everybody. I don't necessarily know that. I'm just saying it could impact things. I think you just need to look. I think you need to show some signs of hope, and that doesn't necessarily mean winning or even playing Florida or Texas A&M to the brink of an upset. But I think if you give people reason to think things are still headed in the right direction, I think mostly the guys in your class want to believe that things are still on the right track. And for the most part, the guys I've spoken with, you know, again, they just lost a couple commitments in the past week, but most of the other guys in the class that I've talked with are pretty on board for the most part. You know, we've seen some other highly ranked guys, Aaron Willis, a top 200 player nationally, four-star linebacker from up in Virginia. Katron Evans today, it tweeted indicating he's locked in. Caden Salter, the four-star quarterback from Texas. All these guys are saying they're solid, and for the most part, the guys that I've talked with still believe in this staff. They think this is a good staff that still has things moving in the right direction, and fans probably would hear that, especially the ones who've been frustrated this year, and say, how is that possible? But I think this year's just kind of felt weird to some guys, and I think they watch the games for the most part and don't see an uncompetitive team. I talked with Deshaun Rucker, a defensive back commitment in Tennessee's class last night about this. You know, he said they're just not playing that well in the second half, but you see them in the first half of games, they look pretty good. So I think for the most part, players see things a little bit differently from fans. In this case, I think they see signs for hope and tend to believe in these coaches buying into their relationships and what they know about Jeremy Pruitt, Derek Ansley, some of those guys on staff, and thinking they can get it fixed based on their track records and not worrying so much about the results so far this year.
Ryan Callahan, Go Vols 247, taking a few with us this afternoon on The Drive. And, you know, Ryan, when this recruiting class was being assembled in simpler times, the summer, when everybody was full of hope and optimism, and it was a top five signing class, and I think people kind of wonder, okay, you know, that might, as other teams get more commitments, that might fall down a little bit. But still, a lot of fans hopeful of a top 10 signing class. The decommitment, you guys have them down to 13, I believe, 24/7. When you look at the guys that Tennessee has committed and the guys that they're chasing out there right now, where do you see this class finishing in the 247 recruiting rankings?
You know, still a lot of variables out there because, as almost always is the case, there's some highly ranked guys on the board who could sway Tennessee's class one way or the other pretty significantly. And that includes not just who they could get, but who they still could lose. You know, let's face it, they're still facing some competition for some guys like Dylan Brooks, the top 100 edge rusher from Alabama. He just tweeted, you know, if you want to read into this a lot, he just tweeted an orange emoji earlier, kind of indicating, at least on some level, didn't say any words with it, but at least suggests he's, you know, leaning towards sticking with Tennessee as of right now, or wants to calm any concerns that he's looking to leave. So things like that, you know, suggest they're okay, but you still got to fight some other teams off down the stretch. But yeah, losing another guy like that could be pretty damaging. And then on the other hand, they're still in the mix, I think they feel like, for Terrence Lewis and for Demaryius McGee, despite their decommitments. I think there's enough of a relationship there that it's possible one of those guys, maybe even both, but possible one of them gets back into Tennessee's class in the end, depending on how things go. So if you get a guy like that, if you land a Nylon Green, the top 100 cornerback in Georgia, some big time targets out there still like that, there's still a chance you climb up a little bit higher maybe, but I think you've got to land a couple more of those guys to get back into the discussion of a top 10 class. So my guess is they finish somewhere pretty close to where they are right now. I think they'll add some. They'll probably end up losing another guy or two, at least along the way, just either by their choice or some other guys choosing to look around, and probably end up somewhere roughly in the vicinity of where they are now, probably about a top 15 class, and maybe top 12 or so, depending on who those additions are.
Hey, Ryan, it's Trey. Thanks for joining us, buddy. And just looking at the offense as a whole, and we sit here and we go over this and we talk about, you know, the different things, and Josh Palmer spoke today and, you know, talking about they thought they gotten better in certain aspects. But I'll ask you this question. When it comes to 17-year-olds, you know, that look at Tennessee and what they're doing, how hard of a sell is it right now to some of these offensive players that, hey, look, come in here, we'll play you early, you know, you'll be able to get some touches, when really that hasn't happened a whole lot with this Tennessee offense? I know Jalen Hyatt has gotten a few balls. You know, you look at guys like Malachi Wideman and others. I just wonder, from your conversations with folks, how much is this offense hurt Tennessee when it comes to potentially finishing up with a strong class or landing a few others?
You know, it might be a little bit, but I think we've seen this before, you know, at Tennessee in the past. You know, when they've had struggles at quarterback, it tends to make your offense look worse. So I don't know that Tennessee's offensive scheme or anything like that is holding them back much in recruiting. But just, you know, when you have numbers like Tennessee's had in the passing game, especially compared to a lot of the other teams that just throw it all around and put up big numbers, that does make it tough. But I think most wide receiver prospects out there want to see a couple things. They want to see receivers put up big numbers. They want to see offenses score points, and they want to see guys get drafted in the NFL. Tennessee at least getting Juwan Jennings into the NFL last year was a step in the right direction. You need to do that more with the receiver position. You need to get some quarterbacks in the league or some noteworthy quarterbacks. You know, having Josh Dobbs a few years ago helped with some guys. They at least knew who Josh Dobbs was in a lot of cases. So that's a big start. And that's where I think, you know, down the stretch, what happens could matter. If you have a guy at quarterback emerge like Harrison Bailey, if he gets a chance to play, that can give players on offense at almost all positions a reason to take another look at Tennessee. You're at least recruiting some other receivers right now. So to your point, I think you just got to give some reasons for people to look at Tennessee's future on offense and say that looks like it could be good in a year or two. I want to be part of that. And you know, Harrison Bailey or someone like that could give people that impression. But right now, just the results they're getting, the offensive scheme, maybe all of it together, just mostly the results overall and not putting a ton of guys in the NFL in recent years, all that together just probably doesn't make Tennessee quite as attractive an option as some other SEC schools. But that's something that could change very quickly. Again, if you just give people reason for hope in that passing game with a guy like Harrison Bailey or someone like that, it could change fast.
Ryan, let's stick with that just for a second. Are you surprised that it took – and look, Tennessee's not going to release this, but, you know, Garantino has not practiced last week. He hasn't been around much this week. It looks like it's going to be the Harrison Bailey show on Saturday against Florida. Are you surprised that it took this long to get 15, the starting quarterback position? Or do you honestly think that Jeremy Pruitt was just going to ride with Jarrett and see what they could get out of the other positions if he just did his job? Because I will say this, Ryan, like I know the pick six, the 100-yard pick six is against Auburn. It really sucked the life out of them, but the defense wasn't really playing that well. Auburn really wasn't that good. And if you look at the game plan Tennessee was trying to put together against Auburn, it was actually working. So my question is, if Garantino is not missing last week and a couple of days this week, is he your starting quarterback on Saturday, or do you think they would have still gone the Bailey route?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think they still might have stuck with Garantano. I don't know that they were ready to make a change just yet, because like you said, that offensive performance against Auburn wasn't the kind of bang your head against the wall performance like their previous four games that maybe made you think there was just no life in that offense. I mean, they had 464 yards. That's a pretty good day against anybody. So I don't know. I don't know for sure what they would have done, but you're right. It looks like their hand might be forced this week, and we'll see if that's the case. But I do think there was reason to think that they might make that change at some point. But yeah, I'm not surprised that it's taken this long, especially knowing, you know, how this staff has sort of viewed Harrison Bailey's development and just what this year has done to him. You know, we talked about it going into the season, of course, you know, the time he missed, not getting to go through spring practice, you know, two practices in helmets and shorts doesn't do much. And then right. You go home for a while and you come back and unusual summer. And then he misses all that time in contact tracing and all that stuff. So just the time missed that. And once you get into the season, it's hard to develop guys. So I know fans have definitely gotten tired of hearing that, but I think there's a lot of legitimacy to it. I don't think they felt he was really ready. And I think he's just now, with the help of these three open dates in 5 weeks, kind of gotten to the point where he's almost ready to be in that discussion more. So it's almost a good time for this to be happening if it works out that way this week. And I'm not surprised, definitely looking back, that it's taken this long for him to play.
I'm sure they would have loved the Vanderbilt game to give him one before having to yeah. play Florida, but it is what it is. And he tried, you know, Jeremy Pruitt, it sounds like he tried to make that happen, but things didn't fall into place. Last question for me on the way out here, and I don't want to put you on the spot, Ryan, but I would love your opinion. If Tennessee somehow drops these next three games, and let's be honest, it's not out of the question. I don't know if Vanderbilt's going to have a squad to play the last game of the season, if that's where they put it. Does the Jeremy Pruitt thing start picking up a little bit about maybe not returning next year? Is that a conversation Philip Fulmer is going to have if they just look dead over these next 3 weeks?
Well, yeah, I think that's the key. I think it really is to be decided by what happens here down the stretch. You know, I'm of the belief that from everything we've heard and everything we've gathered to this point, I don't think Tennessee wants anything to do with the coaching change this year. I just think there's so many reasons. The money involved, I think you look at how a change would have to go this year. You know, we're talking about Tennessee playing a game on December 19th, 3 days after the early signing period starts. So if you waited until after the final game to make a change, how would that even go? Would you be letting signees out of their letters of intent? You know, this is a problem we've really not seen before in college football, where a signing period's happening during the season for a lot of teams, during a game week, that is. So for that to be the case, I just think there's so many potential headaches that come with making a change. You would have to probably want to do it the way South Carolina and Vanderbilt have done it, early, well in advance of the signing period. It doesn't look like you're going to have enough clarity, even if you had that thought, to be able to do it a week or two before. So I just think that the whole situation doesn't line up well for Tennessee to make a change this year, so they don't want to. So to me, a loss to Vanderbilt and three straight losses to end the season is probably the only way it's even on the table. And even then, I don't know how you do it. It's just such a logistical nightmare. So to answer your question, I don't know for sure, but my guess is it's off the table unless you lose all three. And then if you lose all three, it still might even be a discussion. I just think it's something Tennessee views as an absolute last resort, but you can't rule it out because you never know when the tide can turn with donors and things like that. And you just got to kind of see how it plays out. If they're lifeless and uncompetitive in these final three games, especially with some blowout losses to Florida and Texas A&M, you could see enough people get mad and the tide can turn quickly. So I don't rule out anything after seeing these, but I do think the answers usually kind of reveal themselves on the field, and it'll either become obvious or this will get shot down with Tennessee playing better down the stretch.
Ryan Callahan, Go Vols 247. Ryan, thanks so much for jumping on. Really appreciate the time.
Anytime. Thanks a lot, yep. Guys.
At Ryan Callahan 247 on Twitter, govols247.com. We got to take a quick timeout. Stay with us. The Drive continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up. All right, back here on The Drive, it's Fan Run Radio. Ryan Callahan, Go Vols 247, Bear. What did you learn?
That old Ryan doesn't think even if we lose out and go 2-8, that we might be stuck with Gump.
He said he might. Gump. We might.
I got a feeling he loses out. I really think that. I don't see how you bring him back now.
I try not to, especially during the season when our shows are so fast and we're trying to get through these interviews, through these phone calls, pack as much as we can. I'm not going to start just arguing with our guests.
Oh, I know.
I almost feel the opposite. Like I feel like we could beat Vanderbilt and still fire him. I almost feel like, I don't know. I just think there's a lot of things going on. Again, try not to be cryptic or anything, but I just think that it's a mess behind the – I think that it's a bigger mess behind the scenes as far as – the vibes in the building, the mood in the building, the way people are getting along, and the way this dude has alienated pretty much every single person in that building. I feel like it's a bigger mess behind the scenes than it is what we're seeing on the field. And what we're seeing on the field is an absolute mess. I mean, we can all agree on that.
Oh, I thought you were good. Here's my question to you then. Is it a bigger mess than what we were hearing behind the scenes when Botch Stride-Right was the end of his deal? Different, close.
Yeah, I think so, because like Botch just made a really bad offensive coordinator hire at the end of the day. Like if he hadn't hired Larry Scott, if he had hired somebody else, somebody competent as his OC, he might have been able to get through all that. Which, you know, maybe you could make the argument, you're better off because he wasn't a great coach, but he certainly had other problems. But, I mean, the guy's telling Jim Chaney what plays to run, man, during the game. He's never been an offensive coach before. He's micromanaging one of the best offensive coordinators in the game. Like, it's just – and he's not going to change, man. He did that with the last – it's one thing you do with Tyson Hill. You're doing it with Jim Chaney. Like, you're not going to be able to attract better coaches in the offseason. The word is out. I mean, if a schlep like me knows this, I mean, the people in the coaching business know this. They all talk, right? So they're not going to want to come work with this guy. But I don't make the decisions. So we'll see. We got breaking news this afternoon to the Fan Run Breaking News Desk. We go. Mike Wilson of your Knoxville News Sentinel reports Rick Barnes is out of isolation after testing positive for COVID-19 on November 22nd.
COVID didn't have anything on Deacon.
Rick Barnes.
Come on.
A free man.
Super healthy.
Where do you think Rick Barnes, what's his first move now that he's out of isolation? Does he go straight to the gym or does he stop at Pete's for a little bacon and eggs on the way?
What's today? Tuesday? I'd say he goes straight to the gym. Now, I mean, if he'd gotten out this weekend, his first stop, Sunday school.
That's true.
You know?
Well,
and then Pete's, and then probably the gym.
I mean, for a guy like Rick Barnes, who's a man of the people, loves to never seen a blue plate special he doesn't like to belly up to the bar for, right? Like, this has got to be double good news because now he's got those antibodies. He could walk around a little more sure of himself, a little more confident, a little more carefree, if you will. It doesn't have to worry quite as much, man. I'm happy for him. Good for Rick Barnes. And good for Tennessee basketball, who will open the season a week from tomorrow against UT Martin at Thompson Bowling Assembly Center and Arena. We got a lot to get to. Hour number three of the drive coming up. Your Rickard Ridge Barbecue smoking hot question. Should Philip Fulmer offer a public vote of confidence for Jeremy Pruitt? 73.6% of the audience says no.
Certainly not.
26.4% say yeah, he should say something. The more I think about it, I don't think there's anything to gain by saying anything, Bear.
No,
you're better off
not
just keeping your
point.
Mouth shut.
Yeah.
Is like even if you do come out with the full-throated endorsement, it just shines more attention on the fact that your season is a disaster. The fact that you have to say anything at all, you know. Stay with us. Hour number three of the drive coming up. More Fan Run Radio just around the corner. Stay with us. The drive.